Thank you, worship team, for leading us in a beautiful worship experience. And thank you, Marty, for your words and prayer. And this is a special, very special day in more than one way. It's not only is it the day that the Lord has made, and we're to rejoice and be glad in it, but it's also a day for us to reminisce and to remember. And I thought it was kind of interesting that up here we have the symbols of two symbols, actually. We have the symbol of the cross, and we have the symbol of a tree with beautiful decorations on it. And they're both, well, that one may not be wood, but, you know, symbolically it's supposed to be a real tree made of wood. And it's interesting because both of those trees, or both of those pieces of wood, are symbolic of something that's very, very important to Christians. And as we look underneath the tree, we see gifts, nicely wrapped gifts. Somebody spent a lot of time wrapping these beautiful gifts. And I imagine most of us spent at least a little time wrapping gifts this last week or the week before, depending on when you start preparing for Christmas. Some of us take more time in doing it, and it shows. Others, like me, are all thumbs, so, yeah, you know. My wife always appreciates it, though. It's the thought that counts, right? But I got to thinking about the two symbols. I got to thinking about the gifts. Under this tree, the Christmas tree, we have many, many gifts. Some homes have more than others, but they symbolize those things that we want, those things that we desire, those things that we strive for, those things we dream about. Every child has lots of dreams. That's why, you know, you make a list, checking it once and twice or whatever, you know, that song that we sing. Whether you've been naughty or nice. I have I've told you about little Javi, my little dog. He's been wearing a little Santa suit. I told you he likes to wear shirts. He has to have a shirt on or a hoodie or whatever on all the time. And so I bought him one of these that says, you know, I'm on the naughty list and proud of it. And everybody that sees it thinks that's really funny because he's a rascal. He's a real character, and it shows in his eyes. But the beautiful thing about giving gifts and receiving gifts is that it brings joy into our lives. In a world where there's a lot of, you know, sad things that happen and the news is full of that, we can pause for just a few days, maybe a few weeks or a few moments only, and reflect on the positive things in life, the joy of being with family, the joy of giving gifts to others and receiving gifts from other people. And so we reminisce, and often when we celebrate Christmas, sometimes it's really easy to forget that there was a gift that was given to us from God, from heaven. It came from heaven. And that gift came in a beautiful package. It came in a package with skin, eyes, beautiful nose, nicely face shape, a little baby. With a loud voice. I don't know very many babies that don't have loud voices. It's shocking how much volume they can get out of their little lungs. I mean, the little tiny lungs, but they can just, I mean, you know, if you've ever been to a maternity ward and you walk down the hall and you just hear this chorus, wah, wah, and there's a whole row of them, you know, behind the glass window, and there's just rows of them, and most of them have their mouths wide open, and they're yelling. They're trying to communicate to the new world that they've been born into. Well, I believe that underneath this tree symbolizes a gift that God sent, a gift that was intended to bring peace and joy, and most important of all, salvation. Up until that point in the history of this world, the world was hopelessly lost, hopelessly messed up. and becoming darker and darker. But as John tells us, and then came the light, and that light was Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing. Have you ever been in a dark room and you're stumbling around and all of a sudden somebody turns a light on or turns a flashlight on and it's blinding? Well, the people that were in Jerusalem at the time, in Bethlehem at the time, were stumbling around in a world that was very dark. A lot of oppression, a lot of wars, a lot of killing, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. They couldn't see the future. They were crying out to God for salvation, crying out for peace, crying out for comfort. And if they had only read their Bibles and they had only looked carefully throughout the Old Testament, are many prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. It seems kind of ironic, Marty, that the only ones that followed the map in the Old Testament were the wise men. People who really had very little knowledge of this Messiah, but they knew it was significant. They knew that there was something important, and they were studying the scrolls and digging through the scrolls, and they read the prophecies of Isaiah and the other prophets in the Old Testament, and they saw a star in the sky, it says, and they followed the star. Pick up on the theme here of following. They followed the star, and that star led them over hill and dale and through the rivers and through the woods, but they didn't end up at grandmother's house. They ended up at the feet of the Messiah. The star rested right over Bethlehem, right over the manger where Jesus was born. We also know there was another group that was working hard and struggling to make a living out on the hillside, and a company of angels gathered and sang the good news of the Messiah being born. And they were led by the power of the Spirit into Bethlehem, and they found Jesus in the manger. And they followed. They followed the Spirit. In the midst of all of our gift receiving and gift giving this season, in the midst of all the happenings around the world, both good and negative, there is peace to be found. We can have peace. You know, you hear people crying out, you know, we're in such turmoil and you know, the sky is falling and everything's bad is happening. But folks, we don't need to listen to that voice because we are promised. Turn, if you will, to your Bibles. Or you can look in the bulletin too, or your iPhones, or whatever you use. And we have a passage here written. It's found in Isaiah. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter of Isaiah 9, but I'm going to pick up here in Isaiah the ninth chapter, the sixth verse, verse 6. For to us a child is born. Not an adult. Not somebody sitting on a throne. Not some general. Some great famous superhero. A child is born. To us, a son is given. So we know two things. A child, and it's a son. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Shalom. Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. You know, the word Shalom, I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to repeat it, because I think it has tremendous significance for us, especially today, here in this place. The word for shalom has many different directions you can go with it, depending upon the context of of the passage or of the text around it. The idea of shalom, though, ultimately is the concept of being one with God, being connected to, be united with. The ultimate pursuit of shalom is to live in the glory of heaven, the beauty of being in the presence of God, of Yahweh. Shalom. He is the Prince of Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That's a promise. That's a promise. Your peace does not have to be a roller coaster that comes and goes, shows up at Christmas time, takes a dive along with the market, and back up again when you get a new job with better pay, and the dives again when you have to go look for another job, or something else happens in your life. It's not a roller coaster. It's a covenant. It's a promise. It's if you have Yeshua, Jesus, then you have peace. And not only is that peace something that is, you know, promised, but it's something that can be lived. It's something that we incorporate into our lives. I was listening to someone the other day, and they were talking about being happy. And it's one thing to say, you know, if somebody asks you, well, how are you feeling today? And you say, well, I'm feeling happy. Or if they ask you, well, how do you feel today? And you say, I'm feeling happy. I'm okay. Do you see the difference? If you believe that you are happy, if you believe that there is peace in your life, then the face will show that. Unless you Botoxed your forehead and you don't have any expression on your face. But your face is going to show how you feel in here. Do you see? If you're happy, your life is going to show that. And the best way to show that is to practice it by living it. So when the roller coaster's down at the bottom of the hill, claim the peace of Jesus. Claim the promised Messiah, the one who brings peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He can give you peace. You say, well, yeah, come on, let's be real. We're living in the real thing here. And even though you intellectually understand that there is peace in Jesus, but how do you translate that into, you know, the bummer things in life, the bad things in life? Well, if I were to offer you what's in this package, by the way, how many of you like to do this? Try to figure out. I know my boys would spend most of the year looking in all the strange places in the house to see if they could find what was going to be in their package. And I caught on to it when they were fairly young, so I found really hard places to find. Like out in the backyard, if there was an old car sitting out there, I'd go stick it in the glove box or under the seat or something, you know, hide it really good. Somewhere where they'd never think of looking. So we always want to know what it means to have that gift of peace. And it's offered to us. God's Word promises it. Jesus promised it. In fact, he often used the word peace when he greeted his disciples. How are you going to know if there's really true peace in this gift unless you open it? Unless you take it out, unless you wear it, if you want to use that idea. I mean, what woman receives a brand new pair of, I don't know what kind of shoes, but shoes, beautiful shoes. Most of them are $100 and up. How do I know? Well, don't ask me. But what woman would open a gift of a beautiful pair of shoes and then just say, oh, okay, thanks, and put it back, put it in the closet, and never wear them? When God promises peace through Jesus Christ, we need to put it on. We need to put it inside here. And when it comes inside here, then it translates into here. And when those two get connected, Then the smile comes, the forehead becomes smooth, there's no wrinkles of worry, because Jesus is our peace. Now, I don't know, you know, what you did or didn't get for Christmas, but let me say this, that if you received Jesus as is intended by Christmas, our celebration of Christmas, the birth of Jesus, if you've received Jesus into your heart and into your life, then you have received the best gift that you could ever receive. Nothing else. I don't care if your shoes have holes in the bottom of them. And I don't care if you're on the last pair of blue jeans and they're all ripped and, well, actually that would be Abercrombie. They make them ripped, don't they? They sell them all ripped up. In my day, we used to stick them under the tire of the motorcycle and, vroom, you know, make them look old. Nobody wore jeans that were nice. I did have a friend that used to iron his jeans, a pleat in his jeans. And he came to my class reunion a few years ago, and he still wears blue jeans with a pleat ironed down the front. I said, you know, there's something about you, Greg. You stay consistent, man. 40, 50 years later, you're doing the same thing. Here's the thing. If you receive nothing but eternal salvation through the free gift of Jesus Christ, the gift from heaven, the gift of peace, and that peace comes from knowing that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ, that nothing can stand in the way of that. If you've accepted that gift, it's yours. But remember, if you receive it, then it needs to somehow work its way into here and into here. And as a result of that, the Bible talks a lot about the fruits, okay, of the Christian life. As a result of that, you become a happier person. You become a more pleasant person. You aren't quarrelsome. You aren't mean. You're kind. You're loving. All those things are a result of opening the package, putting it on, and walking through life. By the way, it's not a, you know, I think I emphasized it, but I'll say it again. It's not something you wear on the outside. That's what we get at, under the tree. We get clothes and lots of ties, lots of things sometimes we don't need. But when you receive Jesus Christ, the little babe in the manger, when you look down at that little baby like the wise men did and the shepherds did and all the people that came to visit, when you look down at that little babe and realize that this is the divine Son of God, a gift from heaven, wearing human skin, okay, but inside fully divine, Son of God. Oh, I'm sorry. You gotta stand back and go, wow. Wow. Think about it. Billions of miles. We don't know how far away heaven is, but he came all that way to this little tiny, almost invisible speck and came down to a little town called Bethlehem and was born to a woman, I like to say a surrogate mom. He was born as a little baby. And he always will be in the flesh. He will have human flesh. In fact, if you read the scriptures carefully, you will find out that even after his resurrection, after he had completed his stay on this earth, Jesus still had the nail scars in his hands, in his side, and in his feet. Still there. As a reminder of how precious that gift was for us, for you and for me. We just partook of the symbols that he said, do this in remembrance so we wouldn't forget. How long do you think they would have remembered the crucifixion of Jesus? Because it wasn't long after that that the world was plunged into some of the worst warfare, the worst famines, the Black Plague. They don't even have figures. They have estimates that over half of Europe And China, some say it began, the Black Plague began in when the Mongolian hordes came through Europe. They say they don't even have figures of China, but they figure more people died there than anywhere else. That's what happened afterwards. Could have very easily forgotten about the birth of Jesus. But the beauty of it is that when Jesus came here, he told his disciples, listen, I'm going back. This is after his resurrection. He says to the disciples, I'm going back. I'm going back to my Father. I'm going to prepare for you another gift that you're going to be able to come someday and live with me in heaven. But while I'm away, I'm going to give you a gift. And he gave them the Holy Spirit. His brother, or his friend, however you want to look at the Trinity. Wouldn't say his brother because there were three in one. But he gave them the Holy Spirit as a gift. And it's through that Holy Spirit then that we can say, I am a follower of Jesus. And as a follower of Jesus, I accept not only his sacrifice, his death on the cross, and his resurrection, but I accept the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. So when you open that gift, you know, like some gifts, I gave a gift one time to my boys, and it was a train, but there were several different gifts. You want to make it look like they're getting a lot, you know. Not a nice trick. But anyway, well, they were getting a lot. An old train, an old Lionel train. It even smoked and had a little whistle and everything. They got the train first, but then what good is the train, right? You got to have the rest of it. So they got the rest of it, tracks and all the other stuff that comes with it. Jesus died on the cross so that we could claim eternal life. He shed his blood for us. And then he said, listen, here's the rest of the gift. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He will be here while I'm gone. He will be your comforter. So you're questioning where the peace is? Maybe you're suffering. Maybe there's difficulty in your life. You can't sort things through. Remember that the Comforter, the gift that Jesus gave, the Comforter is present. He's here. He's with us. And Jesus said to his disciples, and he will be with you to the end of the earth. When Jesus says that, I believe that's exactly what he means. He doesn't mean up until a certain time in the chronology or a certain time of the eschatology or all that theological stuff, then I'm going to withdraw my spirit. No. He said, I will be with you to the end of this world, this earth. That's a good gift, don't you think? Now, the beauty of that is that when the world ends and the spirit is still living in us and we are in Jesus and we're taken to heaven, the Spirit's not going to leave us. He's still going to be there. Because my Bible tells me that the Spirit was there before the creation of the earth. He was there during the creation of the earth. He's been all along with humanity throughout history, including Jesus, when he walked this earth as a human, listened to the Spirit. You go, well, isn't that kind of like listening to yourself? No. Because the Bible very clearly states that the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they are three, but they are one. In other words, they're one in purpose. They're one in they're united in purpose. They're united in their purpose of creation of the world, the universe, purpose of salvation. But they are three distinct individuals. And you want an example? You'll see that when Jesus was baptized. Perfect example. John is standing there. Jesus walks into the water and he baptized Jesus. And guess, you know the story. They heard a voice in heaven saying what? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Okay, there's the Father. Jesus is standing in the water, and what does it say? A dove came down from heaven. There's the Holy Spirit. It's ironic that the dove is a symbol of what? Peace. Isn't that beautiful? So when Jesus left the Holy Spirit here on this earth, the purpose was to bring peace, to bring joy, to bring happiness, to bring all those things when we are connected to heaven. So I encourage you, let's finish up our passage here. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness for the time, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. There is the sign, the stamp, the signature, whatever you want to call it there, of God. It's a promise. And when God promises something, his kingdom will be forever. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he ascended and sat at the right hand of the Father. Isn't that beautiful? And the Holy Spirit, he has to run back and forth between heaven and earth because he's ever present here. The beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is that he's omnipresent. He can do something that none of us can do. Some of us try, but you can't. Be everywhere at the same time. So the Spirit can be in me, can be in you, can be in you, can be in all of us at the same time. And that means there is peace on earth. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for all three in one. We're thankful that when things are tough, things are bad, when things are good, when things are exciting, that you are ever present, filling us with that precious, precious Spirit of heaven. The joy that comes and the peace that comes from knowing that we are your children preparing to go home with you to heaven. Help us not to turn away the presence of your Spirit, but to accept it into our hearts and into our lives is our prayer in your name. Amen.